Hey, Don.
Hey.
Forgot to wake you up.
I'm awake.
We always like to have you guys check us out. We got a lot of cool stuff going on between Facebook and where?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
A lot of fun stuff. Especially when you're, if you don't know a lot about maybe a state you want to visit. Let's say you're going to go to Tennessee or for winter trout fishing or whatever that might be in Arkansas, the White River.
You ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Many times.
Yep.
Many times. Got some good brown trout.
Yeah.
That was fun. A lot of fun. Was remiss. You always give me crap about this off air.
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, you do. I always have to comment. I love skiing. That's one of my things. However, being a lover of sports in general.
Right.
And records and tremendous feats by athletes. Michaela Schifrin, no. 82nd win in the World Cup. That's tied Lindsey Vonn. Everybody knows Lindsey Vonn.
Right.
And 82 wins, and she has a long time to go before she's done. But you should tune in and see if you can watch.
Think she's going to set the record?
That probably will happen, I think, this weekend. I think I'm not sure if it's today or tomorrow. My guess is it'll happen.
So what's your prediction of how many wins she's going to have?
104.
Before she retires.
104.
104. That's pretty high mark, doesn't it?
Yeah.
82 being the record today?
Yeah. But that's one of those things where I'm hedging my bet because at the rate she was winning this year, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Let's just hope she doesn't get injured.
No, I think, well, and this is the funny part about this. There's a lot of discussion going on about Lindsey Vonn was a speed event person, meaning she was in the GS, Super G, and downhill, meaning those are fast sports, right? Like Mach 900.
Right.
When you wipe out.
Hurts.
Catastrophic things happen. That's where Lindsey was. That's where she lived, in that realm.
Yeah.
And that's why
it's
she was hurt.
Business,
And she could have sparse.
So what's the difference with Schifrin?
Well, she's in the slalom. Parallel slalom and GS, Super G. She raced four downhills in her career, won four downhills. But that's not her prime focus. It's not the speed events.
Okay.
And usually the migration happens as skiers get older. They move from the fast twitch reflex slalom to more of the GS, Super G, and downhill. But as it looks right now, I don't see any lag.
So she doesn't do downhill.
She does, but not anywhere. I mean, it's not a regular regimen, which is good because that's where the injuries happen.
Sure.
Your career is shortened and you do not.
So Lindsey's still like quite an accomplishment.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
She's, you know, the greatest in the sport, you know, Ingemar Stenmark sort of the world and that kind of thing. But
right.
To have that kind of a talent, regardless of where they're going, is pretty
remarkable. She be available for the next Olympics, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. That's about 3 years.
She'll have
away.
Redemption on her mind.
Okay.
After the two crash and burns. But
right.
You know, when you're going at that level, you're 100% going to win it, not place second.
Right.
And you know, you were talking about it. You thought she was getting sick at the top of the run and you know, you watch all the things that they do, but she actually a week and a half ago, she had the flu and she was throwing up at the top of the run before she raced.
Oh my goodness.
So the intensity
and she
level.
Won it?
She did not. She finished second. to say that's
in
a
that
performance
race,
scenario is, you know, is to say the least something.
Well, I'm glad she's feeling better.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Speaking of snow, Don, let's go into this story. Colorado, in fact, most areas out west right now, including the Midwest, we're getting a lot of snow. Except it out west right now, it's on an epic proportion that they have never seen. Yesterday, I believe it was, day before, flying home, I was looking up some various stories, and one ski resort already has received 200 inches of snow.
Yeah, I was saying the one resort in California had 28 feet.
Right. In California, they usually get quite the dump. You know, Big Bear out there gets a lot. they get in their front range coming off the ocean. And that's one of those big things that they get. Same thing with the Jackson Hole is on the east side of the mountain range, Sierra, and Grand Targhee is on the west. Well, when the weather systems move in, they'll hit that front side and they'll dump tons of snow. The back of the mountain gets a lot of snow, but not as much as the back or the front side does. So it's kind of one of those weird things. But to have that much snow travel to Colorado in that far in is remarkable, to say the least. Well,
a bunch of them made it to Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. Well, the remarkable part about that, actually the scary part is avalanche. The avalanche right. scenario right now out west is off the charts. Recently, the rally car driver, Ken Block, he had died in a snowmobile accident out west recently.
In an avalanche?
In an avalanche.
Okay.
Yep. And in this particular case, Utah, they just recently saved a snowmobiler after an accident in a remote area near the Current Creek Peak. They said the search and rescue 21-year-old snowmobiler had an SOS, was on a personal locator device, which is a big thing, which is nice. Search and rescue team and Intermountain Life Flight responded to the remote area for a 4.5-hour rescue mission. Injuries required medical helicopter to extract him and airlift him to a hospital. There was no updates. It's the fourth rescue in 5 days. Snowmobile incident involving another individual that was with Ken Block. He died, and another rescue is four snowmobilers buried in snow in the Strawberry River area. And yeah, it's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, a big thing happened. So this is one of the things, if you sled, you guys know about this. If you've been in the mountains, you know about it. A lot of times you get in a situation where you're running on a trail. Trail's one thing, but if you're running off in the deep snow, you realize that many times you're going down a grade in deep snow and you try to get back up and you can't get there. Now you got a lot of factors. You got altitude, and if you're not from out west, labored breathing is difficult and not a lot of oxygen, especially if you're up at altitude. So a lot of times what happens, you drive down to see if you can't get out by going down at an angle into a valley. Well, a lot of times what happens, either the tree density gets so high you can't get out, the angle of the valley, or there's no way to get out, and you leave your sled. You leave it until spring.
Yeah, but how do you get out of there?
Walk.
How do you walk in 28 feet of snow?
You have to basically crawl up to a point where you can get to it, and that's when you set off the EPIRB or the rescue deal.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like a place to avoid.
Well, and now you add in the depth and the slide characteristics that happened because of the way the early snow it was. Now you add, and now you have a lot of times, and I'm not sure exactly how that forms, but you'll have slab breaks because the snow is, sometimes it regulates temperature and it forms flabs.
Sure.
And those slabs are, there's a snowboarder that got dragged 300 and some feet on video. He's got a video of it, and it ejected him, and it continued down another mile down the mountain without him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have those important inflatable bags that you put in your backpack. It pulls you up to the top of an avalanche.
Well, the good news is I don't have to worry about it.
That's one thing I'll tell you that. That's one thing I would never, ever care to be involved with.
No, absolutely not.
One way not to die. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back. We're going to see if you guys want to find out about fishing and making 70 grand for a invasive species.
Cool.
Kind of fun. Hang out. We'll be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Well, Don, I always thought fishing for a living meant something different. This next story surprised me when I saw it. But we've talked about various...
You could have saved yourself a lot of time and just went down this road.
I could have. And a lot of money. A ton of money.
I'm putting my 2 weeks in.
Why not?
See you later.
All right, tell us about it.
So we've talked about invasive species. There's a lot of rewards that have been going out in the western part of the United States because invasives are impacting the populations of fish that they want to keep in a fishery.
Right.
And they're paying...
To get rid of the others.
To get rid of them, right? So the story goes, so you think you're a pretty good fisherman. You want to be able to load a stringer up, a stock trout, another whatever you want to fish for. Do you manage to pull big bass out of an overpressured park and pond while every other shiner dunker is scratching trying to figure out how to catch them? Maybe you're ready to level up. Have you ever thought about quitting your day job and getting paid to fish? Not tournament fishing. You're looking at earning 70 grand, this individual did, recreational fishing.
I'm listening.
Yeah. The idea becomes a viable scenario with what's going on with people paying, governments paying for, and DNR paying for invasive species removal. According to one of the news agencies out of Oregon, a lucky angler who has opted to be remaining nameless. That's like he doesn't want to give up his fishing spots either.
Right.
Raked in $69,230 between May 1st and September 3rd, catching invasive northern pike minnows in the Columbia and Snake River. It's all a part of the conservation project started in 1991 to rid the waters of the predatory fish that has a negative impact on salmon and steelhead, and two species that drive much of the recreational angling economy in that region. The Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Program, managed by the Pacific State Marine Fisheries Commission, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, they've all come together to do this. Prize funding is supplied by the Bonneville Power Administration, and they're not chintzy. Any pike minnow measuring 9 inches or longer can get $6 to $10 each. And the more fish you turn in, the more those fish are worth.
Well, first of all, I don't consider a northern pike an invasive species.
No, it's a pike minnow. It's not a northern pike. So it's a pike minnow. It's a different, looks different. It looks way different. Yep, okay. Yep.
Never heard of it.
To keep it interesting, Washington and Oregon also have tagged hundreds of pike minnows in values ranging from 200 to 500.
So they're putting them back in the water with a tag.
Yeah, well, and guess what it does?
Can they net them?
Well, let's just see what the program says.
Sorry.
1,200 people registered for the program, and collectively they removed more than 140,000 northern pike minnows from the system. And again, it's pike minnow is one word in this scenario.
Okay.
So it's a different thing.
Okay.
As for the angler that made more than average yearly, one person caught 7,000 fish in 5 months. To say that, the angler, he has a full-time job.
So do they have to do this hook and line? We haven't got there yet. Okay, go ahead.
Typically found in groups, these fish, and they like to roam frequently. They change spots. Staying in the mother lode is what takes skill and dedication. The catching part couldn't be simpler. They will smack a spoon, spinner, streamer, or jerk bait. They'll also happily gobble everything from a nightcrawler to a chicken liver to a piece of cheese. They even created a video series to promote the program and teach you how to catch them so you can earn maximum dollars. So, yes, you do have to use a hook and line. You have to use standard angling methods.
Oh, you make fun out of it at the same time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Another avenue, you may be soaking chicken livers and casting spoons too easy. Maybe you want to try for brown trout. You can make money chasing those too.
in Lee's Ferry, Arizona, if the destination pops into your head, you're thinking trout fishing hotspot. That's because the trouty section of Colorado River is relatively short, as it exists primarily near the Glen Canyon Dam. That cold water inflow from Lake Powell above the dam, it creates a tailwater. It was stocked with rainbow trout years ago, and unfortunately, brown trout trickled in. The brown trout grow larger and they're more predatory, kind of like smallmouth and a walleye fisher or similar,
right.
Very aggressive, and they migrated south. Well, they're incentivizing the harvest program on brown trout measuring 6 inches or more caught between the Glen Canyon Dam and the confluence of the Paria River. They're worth $25 to $33 a piece. They're also eligible for an extra 50 for every 3 trout harvested each month. This is crazy. They also have tags, and it'll net you another 300 if it's tagged. By the math, all you have to do is catch 40 brown trout in a month and 2 extras with a pit tag, and you're clearing 30 grand a year, which beats a late shift at Wendy's. is that not cool?
Well, yeah, you're fishing.
There's a lot of opportunities, Washington Lake, Roosevelt, and other areas. You can earn $10 a pop for northern pike. Pull those out for northern pike. And Idaho rainbow trout on the South Fork, Snake River, so far. Any of the big bucks, you need to go after those pike minnows. Is that not? Is it crazy?
Well, you know, it's a way. If you're going to be out fishing, you might as well. I'm sure there's other species that you're picking up at the same time and having a good time and saving the money one, the money fish.
Well, I think it's a pretty cool deal, and I like that thought that people can go do that and have fun with it. So, real quickly, Don, I want to jump on something you were inspired by.
Yeah.
U.S. Clay Target released the 2022 impact statement for the participants. 260 new teams added since 2021. 44,900 registered student athletes. 12,000 new athletes in 2022. And over $4.5 million conservation raised by league athletes through the Pittman-Robertson excise taxes.
Is that nationwide?
Nationwide.
Yeah. How many participants again?
44,900. It's the largest participating sport in
high school. And you know the largest participating state?
Minnesota.
Yep.
Pretty cool. Speaking of cool, we're out of here. Hard to believe it happened so quick. We appreciate you joining us. For Ava, Don, myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, but we are out of here. Join us next week. It'll be awesome. See ya.